sing. She sings that song, Nail It to the Cross, and I went and listened to a band that sung that, and I told my dad the other day, I was like, there is no one else that sings that song better than Hannah does. And that's every song she sings, but we just thank the Lord for that.
Yes.
Let's turn the order of the service over, and we'll have Brother Daniel come up, and we'll sing He Is Here. He is here, hallelujah, He is here, amen, He is here, holy, holy, His name again, He is here,
Sister Anna's piano skills and Brother Tony's guitar skills, and it's I love it. I love it. You know, somebody else may look at that and say, you know what, just that few group of people and the music you had, I love it.
Amen.
You know what? Because the God's in this.
Amen.
And I'll take that over a million people with no God every day.
Amen.
Amen. Not just one day, every day. Amen.
Right.
I believe that we have the best of the best here, as Brother Tony said many times. You know, the cream of the crop, I think every church probably says that. But I still believe it to be the truth. You know, when we get on the other side, that'll probably be the only disagreement that we have in heaven. You know, because we'll say we got the cream of the crop, and say, no, we got the cream of the crop. You know? But I think that's okay. Me and Brother Paco, years ago, we'd be in Honduras or Nicaragua, and we'd say we have one disagreement that we stand on, and I stand firm, and he stands firm. We're in firm disagreement. I say, I've got the most beautiful wife, and he says, he's got the most beautiful wife. And I said, brothers, when we get the other side, you'll see I'm telling the truth. Everybody was funny, you know. He knew I was just teasing him. So I love Brother Paco, and I just want you to remember him in your prayers. He's constantly on the missions field, constantly in the jungles. So he'll agree with me that I'll pray for Brother Paco.
Amen.
You know what, Brother Paco, if you hear this, brother, there are many hands went across the building. So we sure do love you, brother. I want to speak to you tonight, life through the body. Life through the body. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. And this will kind of be a platform for a service in the, later, whenever the Lord will open the door for the time to give it, to take probably a second part of this service. I don't want to take it all tonight because I don't want to wear you out. But, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Says, and I, brethren, when I come to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 20. 1 Corinthians 4, 16 through 20. Wherefore I beseech you, be you followers of me, for this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, is my beloved Son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Now some are puffed up as though I would not come to you, but I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you. We thank you for this opportunity to be here tonight. I ask you, Lord, to help me completely surrender myself to your Spirit. I just want to be your instrument in your hand, Lord. Lord, just as a hammer, Father, or a screwdriver, or any other tool, Lord. Lord, I don't want to have anything of myself, strictly you and your Holy Spirit, Father. Touch every person here, they that will hear this message, Lord, that they can hear what is it you're trying to say to us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. You know, I really like that one portion of the scripture where it talks about, he says, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ. You know, there was a way of Paul. Paul conducted himself in a way, and you know, the way he acted at one church, he acted the same to the other. And what you see is what you got, I believe, in Paul. And, you know, Paul was an example of the gospel. And, you know, my wife and I, this is real quickly, my wife and I were talking today, and I said, you know, it's you don't find doctors anymore. We're used to, you can find an old doctor, and you can say, these are the symptoms I have in just a few minutes. That doctor knows from experience, this is the problem that you've got, and this is how you fix it. And he may not know the new definitional term that the new doctors would say, but he knows how to fix the problem. You know, same thing with mechanics. There's old mechanics, that the old mechanic that's worked on vehicles, he can go up, he can listen to the sound, he can look at certain different things, and he can tell you by experience, this is what's wrong with your vehicle. Right. Whereas you've got a lot of new technicians, they've got the techs, they've got the degrees, they've got all this stuff, but they don't have that one thing called experience. Yeah. And, you know, experience is something you can read a book really fast, but that does not give you the experience of that. You know, and that's something that only time gives, you know. And time is something that's very precious. When you're young, it seems like it takes forever. When you get old, it seems like it goes so fast you're running out of it. Right. Is that right? Exactly right. But you know, there is power in the body. And if you'll check the youngest person to the oldest person, and you check their neck, you'll find a blood pressure. And the reason is, there's power inside that body, that is life inside the body. And the body has a lot of the mechanics inside of it to do what it needs to do, but without that blood pressure, it's not going to do anything. Mm-hmm. And you know, if someone lies on the floor, what's the first thing they check? Blood pressure. Why? They're going to try to see if they are alive, because that is a sign of life. God forbid that we would be so dead that somebody would have to walk up and touch our pulse to see if we're spiritually alive. You know, I want, God, may there be an evident fruit of the life that God has put inside me. Not something that's worked up, but something God is doing Amen. On a daily basis. The human body was created to adapt and to overcome all climates and all circumstances. God created this right the first time. You have to go back and change this again and say, you know what? I should have changed that. You know, the way we do things, God created us that way. You know, an Eskimo, he's created in a way that he can live in the North Pole or the South Pole, wherever it is they live at. I know it's cold. You know, they got to have, they know they're built in a way that they can handle that climate. But you know, they don't just walk out in a t-shirt. They are dressed to face the environment. Yeah. You know, that's something about man, as God will equip you with the ability to adapt and overcome the environments that we will come. And he's dead. Man, down the ages, has lived. You want the evidence of this? We're alive. Right. It worked. You know, they have lived down the ages. And how did they do that? They adapted to what was going on. You know, they dressed according to the environment that was given. The Eskimo built his house according to the environment as a protection.
Yeah.
Amen. It's a lot like the church. We dress in a way. We dress in a way to face the environment. It is a protection. Our home, the way we conduct it, it is a protection. Amen. And we were created to not just to survive, but we were created to adapt and overcome all the different environments of the ages. Now, that's not adapting by changing the word. That's adapting by us becoming more like this word.
Right.
Because this word was right the first time. But man down the ages has slowly progressed, not say slowly, slowly progressed in the wisdom of God. Is that right? At one time, they depended on the bulls and blood of bulls and goats. They were clothed with that the laws that they had. That's all that they had. But as years come, God, through Christ at Calvary, has given us not just the blood of bulls and goats, but God gave us the fire of sin, and it changes our dress. Is that right? Yeah. It's not a different dress, it's just more unveiled, right?
Yeah.
So as the ages come, you want death and you overcome. You take more truth and you overcome what's in front of you, the devil that's in front of you. Now the cows that Brother Brenham talked about, they were going to put the fur coats, I'm sure you know the story, but they come to a point where they produce the fur automatically. But you know, the cows could not stay the same as they were and overcome their environment.
Yeah.
If they would have stayed the way they was and never produced the fur, they would have died and they would have needed that fur.
Yeah.
There's a very important part I want you to catch here. They had to adapt and overcome. They had to have the change. They had to have the power. Because when you have the power on the inside of you, and you, when you have that inside of you, it does what it's supposed to do. Now, them cows didn't stand there and say, you know what, I got to push this fur out. He didn't do that.
Right.
But I have to tell you this, I bet them cows were mighty depressed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Imagine they were mighty scared. Imagine being put inside this old cart that's dark. You have no idea where you're going. You might see through the cracks every once in a while, a little light. And I imagine them cows had a great opportunity to lose heart.
Yeah.
No, an animal, that's the thing about an animal will lay down and die. And those cows had to have enough heart that I got to keep pressing on.
Yeah.
Why am I going to keep pressing on? I don't know, but I got to live. And there will be moments in your life where sometimes all you got to do, all you can do, brother and sister, is just press on.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. You can't lose heart. You can't just stop and say, you know what, I may as well quit. Because even in the midst of those cows probably feeling that way, there was a power on the inside of them working from the inside out. And I believe that's the way it is with a child of God. Whenever you're going through the darkest age there's ever been, you've got devils on every side, battles on every side, and sometimes it feels hopeless. But in the midst of feeling hopeless, there's a seed on the inside of you that's just a stirring, and it was pushing out the fur. And no, the cow didn't see it. He didn't feel it. He probably felt defeated. But whenever they stepped out of those rope carts, even though they felt defeated, everybody that were looking and beholding those cows, they said, oh my goodness, look at this. They produced fur.
Yeah.
In the midst, while they felt defeated, the people that were beholding them said, oh my goodness, look at this. They're producing.
Right.
Brother and sister, that's just like the church.
You
will go sometimes when you don't feel like there's a thing going on in your life, but there are people that are beholding your life.
Amen.
And they are in awe because they said, my goodness, they are producing.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Amen.
You think them cows felt like they were on a jubilee? You think Job felt like he was on a jubilee? Sometimes you just got to push the battle. Amen?
Amen.
They had to keep the blood going. They had to keep that blood pressure going. And their body would do the rest. The cows had to have the heart to live. And there's a lot to be said about that. Maybe we'll touch base here in just a little bit. When things were going wrong for a while, it is a great opportunity to lose heart in what you are pursuing. And that's where a fivefold ministry is so important.
Mm-hmm.
That a fivefold ministry can point you back and say, hey, here's the power, brother and sister. You are a son and daughter of God. This is a vision. There is a goal. You have a purpose in this life. Brother Tony mentioned the beginning of the service. You have a purpose in this life. You are not just somebody just stumbling through life. You are special to God. You are specially patterned by the Holy Ghost for a dynamic purpose. Not just a purpose, a dynamic purpose.
Yeah.
God has something for you to do, and you should expect God to move in your life every day. Every day.
Amen.
Brother, there was a young man, his Tim something. I almost said his last name. I can't remember. Tim Myers. I got this name. Years ago, he talked to an old preacher, and he said he felt defeated all the time. And he said, well, son, do you expect God to move every day? He said, well, I guess not. I said, well, that's your problem. You expect God to move every day.
Amen.
Listen to me. You expect a revival in your life every day.
Amen.
When you wake up in the morning, you expect God to move. Amen. Because
yeah.
I listen to me. I'm a young man compared to Brother Tony. Hello. Brother, what? You know what? I'm a young man. I don't but I've learned just a couple of things. And one of the things, little things that Brother Daniel's learned is, you will get what you settle for. If you go through life and say, this is all there is, that is all you will have.
Right.
But I'm here to tell you, when you put your foot on the ground, say, you know what? I'm a son of God. I claim my promise. I claim my children. I claim my victory. I claim my church. And you start walking by faith.
Amen.
And you see if the power of God don't come down on your faith.
Amen.
God will put that faith in your heart. It's God that does it, but you've got to act upon the faith.
Amen.
Amen. You walk by faith, brother and sister. You got to speak that word, Hannah. When you're going through a hard time, you speak the word. I'm a daughter of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yep.
There's a patent son of God that's going to be my son-in-law, Lord. One of these days, he's specifically ordered.
Amen.
And we ain't going to rush that one single bit.
Amen.
Because God's in control.
That's right.
In God's time. Amen. I'll speak that word. That's what the fivefold ministry is for, is to turn our eyes back to that promise. The fivefold ministry has a purpose, and it was, and it's the congregation that operates that gift, brother and sister. Listen to me, it is you that operates the gift. When you want more of a move of God, and you've got a need in your life, you have the faith to pull the minister's heart. You have the faith to pull Brother Tony out of his bed where he can't sleep. Brother Daniel can't sleep. Whoever it is going to speak to you can't sleep. What is it? You are pulling in by faith because I've got a need. I need God to move my mountain.
Amen.
But you know what? You can stumble through life. Well, this is all there is. That's all you'll ever get. But if you'll plant your feet on the ground and say, I want my promise.
Amen.
You pull on the ministry. Pull on the ministry. And you operate that gift.
Amen.
And you watch and see if God will pull him away from his text and go right to your need. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now, try to get back on track here. Each one tries, this is a quote from Brother Brown, it says, each one tries to think he's smarter than the other man, each denomination. The Methodist will say, we got the smartest man. The Baptist will say, the Church of Christ, and so forth, they all. We're the smartest. It's our people. We don't just let ordinary man get out and preach the gospel. But they handpicked them. Oh, God have mercy. Handpicked them. If they're indoctrinated with their certain doctrine, then they put them in the church. God can't touch them in no way. I want somebody to preach to me that's been handpicked by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
God has raised up, not man picked this man by some denomination, all knowledge. They say, oh, we know all about it. And some of them doesn't even know the first alphabet of the Holy Ghost. They deny it. God has put gifts in the church, but we want God's choosing, God's chosen. Is that right? Can you say amen? We want God to be moving in this, in our midst.
Amen.
And no man can just take a role and say, you know what, I'll be a minister. It's a calling from God. It's something that God did, just as sure as God called you as a son and daughter of God.
Yeah.
He calls a minister. And he must be called to do what he's doing. And as we mentioned the other day about a shepherd, you know, a shepherd may not be a good speaker, but he knows sheep. And that's the thing about a ministry, is it knows people.
Right.
You don't matter if Brother Tony's not an eloquent speaker. I want him to know the people.
Amen.
I want him to know the sheep.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
I want my ministry to know me.
Amen.
You know, David spent so much time with the sheep, he stumped like them.
Amen.
Aren't you glad when Brother Tony hangs out with us?
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
He stinks like his brother. You know what? That's part of the shepherd's way, is he spends enough time with them, he knows what's going on in their midst. But that's the man part of him. But then there's the God part of him, that he has absolutely no idea what's going on. But there's a gift on the inside that God operates inside that man. And he'll pull the strings on the heart of that man. And he'll cause him to go through certain things in his life. That way he can address your needs specifically. Because you are hand-patterned by God with specific needs. And God will do that. Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to say something right here. I've got a long way to go, but I know I'm stopping a lot, but this right here is one of the big obstacles areas that the devil really works on. Because we do spend time together, and that devil will try to convince your mind the only reason he's preaching what he's preaching is because he heard so-and-so must have said something. And you take the movement of the Holy Ghost out of your midst of what God's doing. There's many times, brothers, when I'm standing behind this pulpit, I can't even think about it because I'm focused. I see things. And I don't even know what I'm saying most of the time. I go back and listen. Like, wow, I didn't know I said that. So many times the devil will work right there, brother and sister, and he will try to tell you and convince you there's no power. Mm-hmm. What greater power can you imagine than somebody that the word can go right into your living room, right down your car, go right down the things you've been speaking on or meditating on, and the word is speaking directly to your heart? Mm-hmm. How more powerful can you get than that, brother and sister? Mm-hmm. I would rather have that than a leg restored.
Amen.
Or an arm restored. You know why? Because that is going to lead you to faith upon faith, precept upon precept, of leading you to a holier life.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you just have a miracle of a leg replaced or an arm, you know, they may not change nothing else.
Yeah.
Amen? If there is a power, and the devil will try so hard to get your mind and say there is no power. Amen?
Amen.
Sheep have an intended purpose. And the sheep were never intended to lead themselves, but they were intended to be led, and the Holy Ghost was sent to lead the church. And down history, we can see how the Holy Spirit was, when it was free to move, there was growth in the church. Now, catch what I'm saying. When the Holy Spirit was free to move in the church and move into individuals, there was growth. But what they did with good intentions is they denominated, because they said, you know what, we need to protect this, because if we don't, we've got the word, we're going to try to protect this because we want to control this because we want to be alive. They don't do it because they want to die. They do it with good intentions. But they denominated, and when they did that, the Holy Spirit left. He does that to a denomination, and listen to me, he'll do it to the individual, brother and sister. Satan will try so hard to denominate your individual life to where you have good intentions. You're trying to use the word, but you're trying so hard, you're not allowing the Holy Ghost to move in your life. Let the Holy Ghost lead you. Because he will not lead you away from the word.
Right.
Listen to me. The Holy Ghost will not lead you away from the word. Brother Branham talked about the Pentecostals, how they blew the steam up the top of their head because they didn't know what else to do. It's because they didn't have the word. We've got the word.
Yeah.
But you've got to allow the Holy Ghost to move in your life. And it's through the simplest things, brother and sister. It's whenever there's that coolness of the breeze of the Holy Spirit will come down and begin to speak to you and give you a scripture or give you a quote. And you've got to act upon that. And when you act upon that, brother and sister, you will see that it's a building block or something else. And there's many times there'll be in a sermon, there'll be a block missing on that. That was your block that God was going to give to you. Whatever, he gave you the scripture. He gave you the quote. He called you to pray, but you did not act upon the Holy Ghost. Listen to me. Whenever we go take a body change, it's not going to be by laws. It's going to be by faith. It's going to be the Holy Ghost. Just as sure as the Holy Ghost will move upon you to cause you to turn and do talk to somebody. It'll be so simple, just like that, brethren. I believe that with all my heart. The body change is going to be that simple, because you don't need faith all the time. A great God, it's just real quick. And you're going to take a body change. It's going to be because you are walking with the Holy Ghost and you're learning his leading on a daily basis. If you restrict an athlete and convince him that he's wrong to express himself in the way of an athlete, you will take his heart away. Mm-hmm. If you got a man he's a basketball. I'm telling you, he's just a basketball player, and he gets enthused. And he does his push-ups, he does his setups, and he's just all bubbly all the time. And if you look at a basketball player, they cannot sit still.
Right.
Now, I'm not good at basketball, but you know, you take somebody that does that, they will have a natural characteristic that comes out of them, and it's a heart for basketball. It's a heart for powerlifting. It's a heart for football. It's a heart for an athletic. It's a heart for racing. But you know, if something happens to them, and a lot of times it can be an injury that takes place.
Right.
Something will take them off the field of what they've been doing. And then in the midst of them being down, they can lose heart in what they were doing.
Okay.
Because they weren't doing what they were doing from their mind.
Yeah.
They were doing it from their heart.
Right.
Because when you've got that fire inside your heart, that is what makes you do what you do.
Yeah.
You take that out of a marriage, brother and sister, that's what makes the marriage tick. It's the love on that fire on the inside. And I feel just real pulled to stop here for just a moment. There's, whenever I met my wife, her first marriage, I said, Lord, I ask you to please show me what to do, how to make a successful marriage, Lord. I want my marriage to be successful. And the Lord showed me three things: love, trust, communication. You have got to have all three of those things, brother and sister. You've got to love one another. You've got to trust one another. You've got to communicate with one another. Because if you don't do those three things, your marriage will fail, your church will fail, your relationships will fail. You've got to love, you've got to trust, and you have got to communicate.
Right.
There's so many times people have things wrong with them, but they won't talk about what's wrong with them to their loved one. And they'll keep it all bottled up inside, and then eventually you'll blow the top off like a champagne bottle.
Yeah.
And then you'll feel bad about it.
Yeah.
Amen!
Mm-hmm.
Brother Daniel, that's not me. Real chance to keep walking on it. Am I telling you the truth?
Right.
This walk with the Lord, brother and sister, there is love, trust, and communication.
Right.
You've got to love the Lord. You've got to trust He's going to do what He said He's going to do. And you
right.
have got to communicate with the Lord.
Right.
Communicating is not you doing all the talking.
Right.
Communicating is you are talking and you're letting the God talk back.
Yeah.
Amen. There's so many times when we pray, we do all the talking, but we don't sit still and let God talk back to us.
Right.
I'm guilty of that myself, brother and sister. You know what? I'm flesh just like you are.
Amen.
Amen. If you restrict an athlete, he can lose heart, and many good athletes got injured, and during their injury, it caused them to lose heart in what they're doing. The same thing can happen in a church. There is a heart in the individual that makes them do what they do, and when the fight is gone from their heart, they will begin to lose battles. Pioneer women, men and women used to conquer lands, but what? How did they do it? They had a fight in their heart. There are many men and women that had the same tools, same opportunity, but the difference was they lost heart and they quit. Listen to me, they quit. And that's exactly what Satan wants to do on a daily basis. He will pound you, pound you, pound your mind to make you quit.
Amen.
Brother and sister, we are not quitters.
Amen.
We're overcomers.
Amen.
We must adapt and overcome. And you don't adapt and overcome when you're in the heat of a trial. Don't get me wrong, it's good to quote the Bible. But you need the Spirit of God to come on your midst.
Amen.
Amen. We need the Spirit of God to come in your midst. And you've got to realize God will come.
Amen.
Satan's job will make you believe He won't come.
Amen.
God will come.
Amen.
You take God's word, say, Lord, your word says, and I am not asking amiss. I'm asking according to your will, according to your favor, because I know how to get favor with you, and that is your word, Lord. I am coming according to your word, and I have got this mountain in front of me, God.
Amen.
I need you to help me move my mountain.
Amen.
You got to be serious. You got to look the word, look that devil in the eye, look your mountain in the eye, and say, I want this mountain moved. I'm stop going around it. I'm not stop worrying about it. I'm gonna stop fretting about it. Face your mountain.
Amen.
Take the word. Say, Lord, I need my mountain. I want my children. Amen.
Amen.
You got a financial need? Lord, I need my financial mountain
Amen.
Moved.
Yeah.
Take the word. There's things you've got to do. You got to be faithful in your tithes. You got to be faithful in your offering. There's certain things you've got to be faithful for. You can't be lazy and say, God, give me my mountain. If there's something that you can do, God expects you to do that.
Right.
But whenever you do all that you can do, you stand by faith.
Amen.
At that moment, you say, God, all I can do now is stand. Whenever the children of Israel got right up to that water, they done all they could do. But then after that, it took God to come on the scene. And when God came on the scene, He's the one that parted the waters. You can't part the waters. I can't part the waters. God can part the waters.
Amen.
And sometimes, brother and sister, He won't part it until you get right up the water. When the priests were going to go right across the water, I believe their foot got right against it before it ever moved. Sometimes, brother, you got to walk by faith. Listen to what Brother Brim says. He says, whenever they fail, God never raised that church again. It goes straight to the sea. Now, just, you want to know the history on that? We can produce it now. No church, not ever in history of church, has any denomination ever failed that ever rose again. Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Lutheran, whatever it may be. When they fail, they are gone. Now, that's right. Now, this, I told you now, put on your jackets because we're going to make this stick. There was never at one time when a man come out as an individual and organized a church. It started. God deals with individuals. not with the denomination. God in no age ever dealt with a denomination. He's always dealt with an individual. In the Old Testament, he dealt with individual. In the New Testament, he dealt with individuals. In any age, he always dealt with individuals, not denominations. So therefore, if God is in a denomination, what's the use of me having anything to do with the denomination? Now, I'm not talking about the people in that denomination. I'm talking about the denomination itself, because God's people in all those denominations, you need to remember that. God's people are still in this denomination. It's not the people, it's the denomination. Amen?
Right.
Now, I'm trying to get my point, because I'm not pressed for time. So just stay with me. Whether it be fruit, animal, or man, all life comes through the body. Now, the power of the, this is a quote, Brother Brown. Now, the power of the believing church, Christ has all power in heavens and earth. Do you believe that? Then what if he's in you? Has Christ got all power? Matthew 28:18, all right? He is the seed word in his body, and he in us becomes the seed word in us. What? All that God was, he poured into Christ, and all that Christ was, he poured into the church. That's the power.
Yeah.
Now watch. Remember, God's law of reproduction. Now remember, after its kind, is that right? The seed of Christ, the word, must come through his body. Are you getting tired? All right. Just a minute now. Let's just hold quiet and pray. I want to get this in real good. I want this to grind down. The seed of Christ must, it must come through his body. Not through a denomination, but through a born-again seed of the word must come through. Now remember, what is it? Christ's seed. How does my seed come? Through the body. How does the apple tree seed come? Through the body. Seed is through the body, and the church is the body of Christ. Is that right? The Bible church. The church produces, that's the new birth, himself in the body. His church is his word, so that people can see the confirmation of Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is saved yesterday, today, and forever. Do you believe it? These are not denominational hybrids. This is those that's in orbit waiting for the countdown. You know what I mean? Fixing to take a rocket. Glory. These are not denominational hybrids, not standing in there. No, sir. It's the seed. When the seed is birthed through the individual, they are placed in the orbit for their takeoff. You say amen.
Amen.
Whenever you are birthed, you are in orbit just waiting for your rapture to take to finalize. And the seed is what makes you do anything that you're supposed to do. And the life is produced through the expression of the seed that's on the inside of you. It's the seed inside you that's making you do what you're intended to do, what you're called to do. The life must come through the body, and a man can take a grapefruit and he can graft it into a lemon tree, and it will always produce that grapefruit. But if that lemon tree ever produces another branch, it will produce a lemon, because that is what is in the root, that's what's in the seed on the inside, and there is a transforming power inside that seed to make it what it's supposed to be, brother and sister. And that's just like you and me. Listen to what Brother Brennan says. He says, now the eunuch, oh, there, we're going to get in something deep now. Now watch, this seed church, the real church with the real true sperm. Notice, the eunuch had been with all the DDs. Now remember, God never committed his preaching and his gospel to an angel.
Right.
Now many knows that. How many knows Galatians 1:8 said, if any angel come from heaven and preach another something else beside that's been preached, let it be accursed. So the angel's wrong if he's different from the word. God come on down below angels and committed it to man, which was sons. Do you believe that? Now watch. Now he never committed it to angels. Notice, he did not do it. Now Philip had been up to Pentecost, Jerusalem, to worship. How many says amen to that? The eunuch, who had been with all the DDs and LDs and everything, but why didn't he get something? He come back studying the prophecy of Isaiah. Although an angel direct, I want you to catch what I'm saying here. Catch this. I know you're tired, but catch this. Although an angel directed Philip to touch him, but the germ of life had to come through the body, Philip.
Right.
Oh, brother, now we're on the line. Where did the germ come from? Through the angel? The An angel is a messenger. Here's a sign. Philip had the germ, the message, the word. That's how a child can be born. Philip laid his hands upon him. Philip baptized him in the name of Jesus Christ, and there come forth the Spirit of God. Sure. Now the germ had to come from the body. What body? Christ's body. Correct. And Philip was a member of the body. Now listen. The same thing took place in Acts 10:48. Peter was on the housetop. An angel directed him to Cornelius' house. But where did the word come from? The body.
Right.
Oh, I feel pretty good. I feel like traveling on. An angel came and said, don't worry. Don't call nothing unclean, but go on. Don't think nothing. And while Peter spake these words, not the angel, not the cardinal, while Peter spake these words, what? He was the body. He had the word. The word took hold. Oh, brother. Oh, my. Angel directed it, but the life come through the body of Christ. You say amen.
Amen.
God will put the leading on your heart. God can put an angel in your path and tell you, go speak to somebody. Testify to somebody. That angel can't go to them and preach the gospel. You got to do it, brother and sister. That's what God does. God will give you the leading of the Holy Ghost, and he'll tell you, you go speak to so-and-so. You testify to somebody. You know, that the woman at the well, she saw the Messiah. The angel for her had said, go tell him. You know, the angel didn't go tell him. She went and told him. You say amen. When the shepherds, you know, the angels didn't go to the city. The shepherds went to the city.
Right.
Hallelujah. The leading of the Holy Ghost will say, this is what you do. But the Holy Ghost is not going to do it. You got to do it.
Amen.
Amen. The angel will show you what to do. But the angel's not going to do it. You got to do it.
Yeah.
Because you are the body.
Yeah.
That makes me excited.
Amen.
That's where life comes from. The body. That means you can give life to somebody else.
Yeah.
Because you are the body. You have a purpose, brother and sister.
Right.
Amen.
Amen. Can you see what I'm talking about tonight?
Amen.
The Holy Ghost will come. An angel can't do it because an angel's not a son or daughter. But you are.
Amen.
Right.
You are son and daughter of God, and you've got a dynamic purpose.
Amen.
To express the seed that God put inside you.
Right.
And there ain't nobody can testify like you.
Amen.
There ain't nobody can share your testimony like you.
Right.
You can say it just right. You can sing your song just right. As crazy as it sounds, Brother Daniel can sing the song just right.
Yeah.
At the appropriate time.
Right.
Because there ain't nobody can fill my shoes.
Right.
Only that's my shoes.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're stinky. They're ugly. But they're mine.
Amen.
And listen to me. I've got a position in this body.
Amen.
I may look like just a worn out old tire, ain't got no good, like a broken tail on a mule. I may look like there ain't no good to me at all, but I'm here to tell you something. I'm important to God.
Amen.
And what I do matters. I'm going to worship my King.
Amen.
I'm going to praise my King. I may look like a fool, but you know what? He is worthy of my praise.
Amen.
Because you know what? I can give life to the body.
Right.
It's so important that we catch that, brother and sister. Life comes through the body. You are a witness. You have a purpose in this life to where you can give the life to somebody else.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. Amen. I think I've got one more thing I want to read. I don't know. I can't believe I'm done. I'm going to get us out of here before 8:15. Okay? No promises. The woman at the well was convinced that Jesus was the Messiah, and it made her concerned enough to tell the whole city about him. It was not her job. Catch this now. It was not the woman's job to confirm that he was the Messiah. It was not her job to confirm Hebrews 13 and 8. It's God's job to confirm he's the Messiah. It's God's job to confirm Hebrews 13 and 8. Because you can't do it. I can't do it. All I got to do is just tell them what the word says.
Yeah.
The word says that I can lay my hands on the sick and they shall recover.
Amen.
The word says by his stripes I am healed.
Yeah.
The word says I don't care how sick you are, brother, sister. The word says by his stripes you are healed. It's your job to tell the word. It's God's job to fulfill the word.
Yeah.
Love, trust, communication.
Amen.
We got to have trust that God will honor his word.
Amen.
Amen. Because you know what? You know what gets exciting? Is when you see the power of God.
Amen.
When you see God, I pray this mountain was moved. That's power.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You get excited about it.
Amen.
It can take some people to never smile.
Can make them smile. Oh, there it went.
I'll get you smiling. Hey, you ain't going to sit there and service and not smile with Brother Daniels here. Nah.
See, there it tells you.
You know what? God will move your mountain. It's your job to tell the truth. It's your job to say, this is what the Word said. It's God's job to confirm it.
Amen?
Amen. That's right. God rebuke. This is the last one I'm going to end. When you go home, I want you to do this Bible study at home, okay? I want you to go home and read Acts chapter 10, verses 28 through 48. Acts chapter 10, verses 28 through 48. And I want you to take that scripture, and I want you to read it slow. Then I want you to go back and read it again. Because I want to nail this down right here. This is my last thing I'm going to say. Peter looked at people that as they were unclean, but God had made them clean. God said they're clean. Listen to me. This is the point I want you to leave. It is so important that we do not look at anybody as unclean. We need to look at every person. I don't care who they are. We need to look at them as that's a son of God.
Amen.
That's a daughter of God.
Amen.
And it's our job to tell them the truth. Because you know what? Whenever Peter, the preaching of the gospel, told them the truth, the Holy Ghost come down, and those men that he thought were unclean received the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Listen to me, brother and sister. Whenever it's not just your family, it's the guy down the street. It's the people whenever you're at the post office. It's whenever you're going through the grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
It's whenever you can look at them as son and daughter of God.
Amen.
And whenever you can show them, I value you.
Amen.
Listen to me. It is so important. We will move more mountains by showing people that they are important. Because
mm-hmm.
listen to me. When you show somebody that they are appreciated, when somebody is appreciated in the role that they have, they will perform the best they possibly can in that role because they feel like they are appreciated. But if someone is in a role, in a position, and they don't feel like the people appreciate the position that they are in, they will not perform in the height that they are capable of.
Right.
And that's your mother, that's your father, that's your pastor, that's your ministry, that's your song leader, that's your trustee. It don't matter what the capacity is. That's wife, that's husband. Can I say that again? Whenever they have a role in this life, they have a position in this life, and whenever you will show them, I appreciate the role that you are in. I appreciate the things that you do. I value the things that you do. And you will see they will begin to express in greater heights that you didn't even know was there. Because you are appreciating the role that they are in, brother and sister. And going back to the last service, we've got to humble ourselves where we appreciate the Holy Ghost in our midst. I value the Holy Ghost in our midst because you know what? We don't want the Holy Ghost working at 20% capacity. I want that Holy Ghost leading my life every direction he possibly can.
Amen.
I want to be led to, all I think about is God.
Amen.
We're getting pretty close. Feels like sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But Tony mentioned, you have a day, man. Throughout the day, your mind is constantly on God.
Amen.
Constantly.
Amen.
Brother Tony, one of my favorite sermons, he's preached in a while, where he really, and I think it was Jarred from the Well, if I remember the name of the scripture. He hit the nail on the head, brother and sister, but it comes so simple. He said, you know what? You can stand behind a box. I believe you're standing about right here. How many remembers?
Mm-hmm.
He said, you can stand behind the box, and here he is. The presence of God will drop down. God is with you, brother and sister, but he's so simple that people overlook it.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to me, we've got to slow down and say, because this world is engineered to go fast, 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 going absolutely nowhere. Listen to me, it's automatically your flesh. You will automatically go right with them. I'm here to tell you, as a ministry, you got to slow down.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Don't go the pace of this world.
That's right.
Listen to me, this world is on a march. Don't even realize it. Beatboxing all the way to great tribulation period into the judgment. They are in beat. They don't even know that they're in beat, but they are in beat with it. But at the same time, there is a bride of Jesus Christ. that's got a steady, slow march. Walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. You're so timid. You're listening to the Spirit. You're mindful of the Spirit. When you wake up in the morning, you listen to the Spirit. When the Spirit comes down to tell you to pray, you pray. When the Spirit moves on, you listen to a tape, you listen to the tape. When God, the Spirit moves on, you listen to the, read the Scripture, you read the Scripture. Listen to me. The more you can slow down and listen to that Holy Ghost, brother and sister, you will see that God will lead you in greater heights than you have ever seen in your life. Listen to me. God wants to lead you.
Amen.
It's so important you catch what I'm saying. God wants to lead you. How many of you want to be led by the Lord?
Amen.
You want to be, truly. I want to be led by the Lord. I want my family to be led by the Lord. I'm telling you the truth. God wants to lead you. And if you will draw nigh unto Him, a simple scripture, if you will draw nigh to Him, He will draw nigh to you. If you want to be that son and daughter of God that you can be proud of, listen to me. The devil will try so hard to make you be ashamed of who you see in the mirror. Because you'll see the weakness and the failures. That's why it's so important we don't look at ourselves, brother and sister. We look at what the Word says.
Yeah.
We look at what the Word says. I am redeemed. I'm a child of God.
Yeah.
I am healed.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Because if you look at yourself, you will begin to walk in circles.
Mm-hmm.
Brother and sister, you are important. That's all I say. Life comes through the body. When God will lay it on your heart, brother and sister, to move, to speak to brother and so-and-so, listen to me, you could be the life that they're needing. But I'm nobody great. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a singer. I'm not this. You are specifically important in your life that God wants to use you.
Amen.
God wants to use you. Amen. That's what I'm telling you. Get ready to come. Let's bow our heads.
Heavenly Father, I humble myself before you tonight. And Lord, I didn't get to the point where I thought that I would in the service. But Lord, I know that I don't ever want to weary your people, Lord. Lord, I ask you that you would drop down this evening. That Lord, you would speak to hearts, Lord. Lord God, that you could take the word that's been spoken tonight, Lord. Lord God, that we could receive it the way you want us to receive it, Lord. Seeing that we have a purpose in this life, and there are men and there's women, there's boys and there's girls, and they are struggling through this life, and they need somebody to give them life, but life comes through the body. Lord, I ask that you would help us, Lord. Help us to run well, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name.
Yeah, we can say that.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. Life is in the body. It was just my wife. I've been reading in Acts, and I was just meditating on that whole thing there. How the angel could not bring the message, had to come through Peter, come through Philip. You know, Brother Rem said life is a struggle. I was telling someone today. Talking to someone today about that very thing. And I said, you know, when they send astronauts to outer space, one of the biggest problems they have to deal with is the fact that they don't have gravity, so they lose muscle tone. You've got to have something constantly working against you to keep you fit.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's the whole, spiritually it's that way. And so, life is a struggle, but it's supposed to be. You know, you don't see growth in yourself. How many have ever looked in the mirror and said, oh, I see myself growing? You know, like when you're on a diet, you know, they tell you don't weigh every day because you're going to get discouraged.
Sure.
But, you know, if you just put some time between there, a couple of weeks or something like that, you'll see some changes.
Right.
And that's the way it is, you know. But we can look at other people. I can see these little youngins like that, and it's like they grow an inch in a week.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But you don't see yourself growing. So we're our worst enemies. But just always notice that other people see. And they see growth of God in you. I was, years ago when I worked at a different job, and there was, you know, ungodly people and different ones. And, you know, you just try to stand for truth. And we'd be in meetings and stuff with the owner of the company and different things. And One day this lady, she didn't live a godly life at all, but she told me, she said, you know, people admire you. And I'm like, me? Why me? I would never guess her to say that to me. She said, because you stand for truth. You stand for what's right. And I thought, well, people see it, you know. So we really appreciate it. You know, healing is in the body.
Yes.
Right.
Brother Daniel's touching on that tonight. You know, life's in the body. Well, healing is in the body.
Right.
You know that you've probably heard this phrase, food is medicine. Right? If you eat the right food, that is your medicine. Yeah. Give the body what it needs and it'll heal itself.
Yeah.
Right? Give the church
yes.
the word of God.
Yes.
And it'll heal itself.
Yeah.
Right.
Right? All natural times spiritual. And so, you know, when you see those things, we wanna take advantage of those truths like that and know that those things are working. And I was thinking, you know, I'll tell you a testimony here in a minute. I was going to tell someone yesterday, and I didn't get around to doing it, but it doesn't take 10,000 prayers. Right. Not telling people, pray 10,000 prayers. Right. All it takes is one prayer of faith.
Right.
That's all it takes to get the job done.
Yeah.
And so I've been listening to a sermon Brother Brenham preached called Perfect Faith. And so that's what we want, perfect
Amen.
Faith. Amen. Brother Daniel's talking about people having a heart for something. And I was, you know, there's a little restaurant out here we went to one time called the Wagon Wheel. And they make a really good hamburger. And went by there last night to try and maybe, you know, and what they're doing out there, you can't get a car into the parking lot of evening. Because what they're doing is they have this karaoke thing, and all these old people go out there, and they all get up and sing, and they have a heart for that, and they pack the place out every night doing that.
Right.
It's because they have a heart for that. And I was thinking earlier, since I seen that last night, I'm like, what if those people had a heart for God?
Mm-hmm.
They would come to the house of God like they go to that place,
yeah.
Right? So you have to have a heart for the things of God. And follow after those things. And so I was going to say, if you quit, Brother Daniel was talking about, you know, the devil wants you to quit. If you quit, what are you going to go back to?
Yeah.
Think about it.
Right.
Yeah.
You're going to go back to the world, back to sin, back to a denomination or whatever. Where are you going to go?
Right.
I feel like Peter said, just again speaking to someone today and talking about that, where I said, many of the disciples that followed Jesus turned and followed him no more. That was St. John 666. You know, and he turned to the rest of the 12 and said, would you also go? And Peter said, where would we go?
Right.
Thou hast the words of eternal life. I feel that way. Where would we go?
Mm-hmm.
Right? The life is in this message. Life is in this body. And so we're not going to quit. You got something in it that just won't do it. And
right.
So we're thankful for that. I would like to say this. This is just several thoughts as Brother Daniel's preaching that have been going on my mind. And you know, when God gives you something, you come to church or you're meditating, praying, and God just fills you up. You're just full of a revelation, full of something God gives you. And you know, you go through cycles. There's times where like, man, God just speaking so richly, and then you go through a time when he's not, and he's rich. And so I was just, you know, if you get filled up, you can't receive any more until that's gone.
Right.
Think about it. And the not like food digesting, like digesting the word, yeah, that too. But what struck me was that if God gives us something, go tell someone.
Right.
Go give it out.
Yes.
Because I heard a minister say that. He was preaching about it. He said, you know, he just couldn't find, can't find anything anointed in the scriptures because, and he said, I had to become sensitized again. And he would go relax, like Brother Brown, I have to relax my mind or whatever. And so you got to do something or other that will make you receptive once again to another revelation from God. And one of the best ways to do that is go tell somebody. Go share that life, and that'll I guarantee you, not me, but you understand, that'll make you to where God will, he'll come right back in, right back, because why? That's that body giving out that seed, right?
Yes.
Amen. And so, I did want to, again, say you have a purpose, but I wanted to tell you something here, just real quick, before we get ready to go. I'm not trying to keep you long. While we had song service there, my phone text came in, and it was my cousin James. The one who was praying for, we've been Brother Ben when I went and visited. And he just sent a text and said, "I love you, Uncle Tony." He calls me Uncle, so we're really cousins. There's a story behind that. "Yeah, I love you, Uncle Tony, so very much." And I was wondering maybe if he was maybe watching service. But then Aunt Mary texted me and said, James wanted his mother, Lila, to call her and update her on how he's doing. And he said that he's got throat cancer, had it, I'll almost say that. And so he has a feeding tube and for some time now. And so he said, he says he's feeling stronger and has eaten some mashed potatoes, cottage cheese, and some mashed up peaches, where just a few days ago, he was not eating at all. Yeah. I told him, Mary said, she told him to praise God
for
what he has done and keep trusting him for more.
Praise
Amen.
Lord.
Amen. We just give the Lord a prayer for I would ask that you keep praying, because it will require a miracle, and we pray that the Lord is actually doing that.
Amen.
I mean, he believes that God is good.
Amen.
Let's sing that song, God is Good, all the time. I don't know what page number it is. We'll try it, you see. I'll let you go. I mean, he's enjoyed service tonight.
Amen.